ladies and gentlemen, undefeated as an NFL head coach, Nick Sirianni. Nick, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Angelo. Good to be here this morning.
Nick, I have already talked to all the barkeepers and restaurants in this area. Your money's no good this week. It's all free for you.
Good. I'll make sure I go out to eat a couple times then.
Nick, before kickoff from this football family you're in, I know you said you took a moment. Could you take us into that a little bit? What are you feeling just before you go out on the sideline, first game as a head coach with the Eagles?
Yeah, just felt about just all the people that helped me get to that scenario, that situation of being the head coach. Just really felt, coaches, family members, obviously, again, my mom and dad, my brothers, those were guys were on my mind when I did that. Thought about how one brother's been the head coach for 19 years, and my other brother for 19 years, and my other brother was a head coach for like 12 years. So how I was late to the party a little bit, and it took me so long to be a head coach as well. But no, it was just a good moment, and just kind of and being thankful for the moment itself and all the people that helped make that moment possible.
Nick, all these football coaches in your family, including your dad, any advice? Did they give you any advice before the first game?
Not really any advice going into that first game. I knew, though, my brother Mike, I knew what he's going to do. He's going to watch the game, and he's going to say some stuff about the calls. If we made a mistake on a play, he's going to let me know about it. So that it was Mike's more about how he corrects the game afterwards. So that, but nothing, not a lot there before the game.
All right, Nick, first possession offensively, you run right down the field for a TD. Is that possession scripted? Do you go in knowing what you're going to do play by play?
Yeah, you do, but this game is such a game of adjustments. So you see if they aren't covering something, they aren't doing something, you might have you go in there with a plan like, hey, I'm going to run this play, then this play, then this play, then this play. But what if you're in second and 10? What if you're in second and 1?
Yeah.
What if the defense can't stop the first play that you run and you want to run it again? So it is, you have these plays that you want to do, and you got to order to them, but they can adjust just like a game does throughout the game. You could change a third down here and there. You can change a red zone there and there, and you adjust to what the defense is doing.
All right, so I was watching your news conference after the game, Nick, and you were talking about there was a sequence where Quez Watkins got three screens in a row. There was a sequence where Devontae Smith got three throws in a row. And those weren't necessarily the only option there. Am I right, Nick, that Jalen Hurts saw what he saw and made it based on what the defense was giving him? Is that how that played out?
100% correct. Yeah, I thought that's where Jalen really did a good job. And it's not just in the pass game where you're like, hey, I'm gonna go down the field and only throw it down the field. Well, you're gonna go down the field, and if they don't give it to you, you're gonna check it down. And it's the same thing in the run game, right? I'm gonna hand this thing off. If they give me one look, I'm gonna pull it. If they give me another look, and I'm going to throw this little screen if they give me another look. So that's where I thought Jalen was complete control of the offense. And they weren't being real basic. Coach Pease, the defensive coordinator there, he was throwing some stuff at us. So I thought Jalen did a good job on the road and against a defensive coordinator that likes to do things, being in complete control of the offense.
Nick, were you aware before the game of this national debate going on whether or not Jalen Hurts could be a successful NFL quarterback?
I wasn't.
You were not?
I was not aware of that.
Well, and having coached him now for a few months, is there any doubt in your mind he's going to be good at this?
It's his first game that we had with him. He played an excellent game. I mean, he played an unbelievable game. We know, and I don't want to take anything away from him because he played unreal. Just got to do it week in, week out. And Jalen knows that. He knows he's got to come in here and he's got to work hard this week to play another good game. And he's going to have to work hard the next week to play another good game. So it's, the bar is set and the standard is set, and we want him to play like that every week, of course. And I'm very confident in Jalen and his abilities to be able to do that. It's just he's going to have to put the work in to do that, and I have no doubt in my mind that this is the type of player and the type of person that is willing to put the work in and get better every day. To be able to reach his ceiling.
I learned a term to describe what you just talked about, Nick. It's called the dog mentality. which I had never heard it. I even posed it to dog fans in the studio here. They were sure. Is that something you learned from your family, the idea that just remember what's happening right now like a dog does?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's kind of it's from other coaches in the past, family members. It's some people have different ways of saying it. And, you know, next play mentality, some people say. Philip Rivers said "Nun Chepe," which means we begin again. And he wore a hat like that, everything. But I like dog mentality. Like, dog mentality, it is exactly what you're saying. It's, hey, after each play, the dog gets put back in a cage. All right, after each play, the cage gets open, and the dog forgets about what happened the last play, and he goes and he chases the rabbit again. And that's kind of how I like the visual better of dog mentality, of the dog snarling and drooling and growling and barking, and, you know, for every quarter and no matter what happened the play before, right? And that's kind of the mentality. You can get some cool pictures on the internet of dogs doing that. So, you know, it's good visual for us. And we had some T-shirts made up of it, and that's a nice T-shirt, and better than the other ways I've heard it in the past. But it is so, you know, again, you learn something from everybody in your past, and this is no different. It's just I named it a little bit different because I know how important – but I do know how important it is to have a short memory in this league. That's just not on bad plays, right? That's after good things too, right? We gotta go in there and correct the tape today and be a complete dog mentality today and just get better from this game but just come out snarling again, and that starts in our meeting room.
All right, let's talk about that tape for a second. I'm not sure if you saw it yet. You alluded to it in the postgame thing. The throw to Goddard for the touchdown, 2 seconds to go at the end of the half. Have you had a chance to look at that? Because to me, that answers any questions about whether Jalen Hurts has the arm to throw in the NFL. What'd you think of that play? Could you kind of take us through that a little bit?
Ooh, great play. Great play. Sometimes you're not going to always call a perfect play against the perfect coverage. In fact, very rarely does it happen just perfectly. And, you know, they played a coverage but you have answers versus different things, but they played a coverage that the play that we ran wasn't great against that. And he made it happen. He made us all look like good coaches, and that's what good players do.
Wow. Very nice. Other side of the ball, Nick, struggled early against the run, which was surprising. And then clearly some adjustments were made. Take us through what was going on early and then how you adjusted to stop a very veteran offense at the Falcons.
Yeah, you know, they went some tempo early on. And Matt Ryan was getting him into good looks. I know, no surprise there. He's a great quarterback, and he was getting him into good looks. And they were taking advantage of, you know, just being at tempo. I thought the guys did an unbelievable job of settling down, sticking to the plan, right? That was more of a case like, hey, stick to the game plan. Just everyone take a breath, stick to the game plan, dog mentality, right, and play the next play. And they settled in, and they, you know, obviously they pitched a shutout in the second half. But again, they started off, and so there it is a bad sequence of things, and they did a great job. We talk about in the red zone that those are always 4-point play. The third down in the red zone is a 4-point play to us, and they did a great job on those 4-point plays. So they, you know, there was some bleeding with the run game, but they stopped them on these 4-point plays, which is huge, right? It's huge when you're holding them to field goals, and so thought the defense did a nice job there of really stepping up when they got into some of those 4-point plays.
And Nick, a strategy question. You had a couple of fourth down attempts. You passed up field goals. There was also a 2-point conversion you went for after a penalty. How much is the analytics involved in helping you make that decision?
It's a piece of the puzzle. It's definitely a piece of the puzzle. You know, for the first, I'm listening to it. I'm trying to think about, but I also got, it's the first and foremost thing on everything is about the players. It doesn't matter what I see on tape. It doesn't matter what the analytics say. The very first thing that you talk about in any game plan or anytime you call a play is the players. I actually have that there's a reminder that I have on the back of my call sheet that says players, 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 players. It's about them. And so, you know, analytics is a piece of the puzzle. Game planning is obviously an even bigger piece of the puzzle, but it always comes down to the players. And in those scenarios, right, we were on the edge of field goal range the first time. I didn't want to punt right there, and I felt good about, you know, the calls that we were running, and we didn't execute, but I felt good about that. The second one I felt pretty good about as well. Again, didn't execute. And then as far as the two point on the one, I've had experience with that before. In 2018, the Indianapolis Colts were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the same scenario happened. And Frank looked at me and was like, "Let's go for two." And we went for two, and we scored. And what ended up happening is we went up. Long story short, we won the game because we did that.
Wow.
Regardless of what the score was at the time, we ended up winning the game because we did that. And so, you know, those experiences stick with you. And so that was my decision to go for it on two, obviously, go for two on that. And it worked out. And I felt really good about the play, and I really trusted the offensive line there in that scenario, and Miles and Dallas Goedert, who was in as a tight end.
Last thing, Nick, this is the dream to be an NFL head coach, and you won your first game. What does it feel like?
Yeah, it was a great feeling yesterday to sit in the locker room, celebrate with the guys. That was a great feeling. If I dwell on that feeling for too long, though, then this week's not going to go the way it's supposed to go, and so I'm over it. It's out. I'm on to the next one. It's been no different of a morning, and that's how my Monday mornings are going to be, win or lose. It's going to be on to the next game, but yesterday was pretty sweet.
Awesome. Congratulations, Nick. The city is ecstatic this morning, and thank you for everything. I appreciate
it. Look forward to seeing everybody over there at the link, and awesome, awesome attendance at the game yesterday. That was unbelievable. Appreciate all the fans that were out at that game cheering us on, and it was incredible.
Thank you, Nick. Talk to you next week. Bye.
All right, thanks, Angela.